Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Thursday, June 27th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, the presidential debate will be held in Midtown Atlanta tonight. An effort is underway to make brain scans work equally well for black and white kids. And the Port of Brunswick continues to take on more traffic after the Baltimore Bridge collapse. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Georgia swing voters and partisans alike turn their eyes to the presidential debate stage in Atlanta tonight. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are scheduled to debate on CNN at 9 p.m. Undecided voter Jake Reynolds of Woodstock, north of Atlanta, says he wants the candidates to talk about the economy.
I'm kind of on the fence, only because obviously I realize that this is a very, very important election with the direction of our country. There's a lot of things that I think myself as well as the American people have question marks about.
Devante Jennings, chair of the Young Democrats of Georgia Black Caucus, says one of those questions is the candidates' ages.
Like, whose brain is deteriorating more than the others? So I think people are going to be more tuned in to basically see who's going to make a mistake. And it's going to be one of those things where, honestly, like, even if somebody stutters over a word, going to be blown into this huge thing.
Jacqueline Harm, the chair of the Georgia Young Republicans, says this will be the first debate in which both candidates have a presidential record.
I think that adds a whole other level to it because each candidate can then basically their answers off of their policy decisions they've had to make, the administrative decisions they've had to make. And there's no candidate appeal here of like, oh, well, when I'm elected office, because they both have served.
GPB's Sarah Callis is with the president's reporting pool today. She spoke with GPB's Orlando Montoya.
Sarah, tell me about where you are and what people can expect tonight.
I'm at Dobbins Air Force Base right now. I'm with a group of reporters, and we're anxiously awaiting the arrival of President Biden. He's supposed to go to a couple campaign events before eventually going to the debate around 9 o'clock and making a couple stops afterwards before leaving Atlanta around 1 a.m.
And I know you've been speaking to voters ahead of the debate. What have they been telling you about what they want to hear from the candidates?
Many voters have told me that they are already decided on who they're going to vote for, and the debate does not have potential to sway them either way. Still, they're telling me they want to hear both presidential candidates' solutions for economic problems like inflation and the high cost of living.
That's GPB's Sarah Callis with the presidential reporting pool. She'll be in the press room tonight at CNN Studios in Midtown Atlanta, where we also have reporter Amanda Andrews outside covering potential protests and traffic disruptions as the candidates make their way into town. Heavier than usual traffic is expected with the debate happening and a Copa America soccer match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight. Several roads will be closed. The Atlanta Police Department says if you plan to be in the city for any reason, plan ahead and expect limited parking and heavier traffic. For soccer fans, MARTA says it is offering additional rail service to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And of course, tune in for NPR's coverage of the presidential debate tonight at 9 on GPB Radio. PBS also will simulcast the CNN debate on your GPB TV station. Watch or listen at gpb.org. A newly opened center is providing support and education for thousands of Georgians living with sickle cell disease. The new Sickle Cell Sanctuary in southwest Atlanta is aimed at helping people manage the chronic pain that goes along with the disease. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports.
Sickle cell is a hereditary red blood cell disease that is often misdiagnosed and leaves patients in pain. Tabitha McGee is the executive director of the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. She says that because pain is internal, doctors often accuse patients of drug seeking.
They are in and out of the hospital, showing up in the emergency room, acute crisis. And when you're in acute crisis, that means that your major organs are depleted of oxygen, kidneys, lung, heart, therefore making it very painful for them.
The sanctuary specializes in holistic wellness through exercise, massage, stress management, and psychotherapy. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Georgia's Latino economy is experiencing exceptional growth and now accounts for $34 billion in consumption. Those are two of the key takeaways from a 2024 Latino GDP report authored by two California researchers for Bank of America and presented at a Latino Economic Forum in Atlanta yesterday. The report found the two top sectors in Georgia's Latino economy to be finance and real estate and professional and business services. Commissioners in southeast Georgia's Bullock County have postponed a vote on agreements with neighboring Bryan County over water and sewer services related to the Hyundai electric vehicle plant currently being built in Bryan County. Water demands from the plant and its associated growth have sparked concerns among environmental groups and nearby residents using well water. Commissioners were set to vote on the agreements at a special called meeting this week after making them public the day before, but they delayed the vote after citizens spoke up, complaining they had not been given enough time to review them. Scientists today have a lot of great tools to help them understand how kids' brains develop as they grow. But what happens when these tools weren't built with all kids in mind? GPB's Sophie Gratis has more from Macon, where there are ongoing efforts to address that problem.
At a Mercer University lab, students are watching each other's brains at work.
We have to make sure that it's equidistant from like this point right here.
Grace Gassaway works on fitting a functional near-infrared spectroscopy cap, FNIRS for short, onto another classmate's head. It looks like a swim cap covered in empty spools of thread. Once on, the cap allows Gassaway and her classmates to see a 3D image of Parth Patel's brain.
Do these hurt?
No, those don't hurt.
Each empty spool is actually a detector, measuring brain activity through an infrared light signal. The signals are read on a computer.
The green indicates that the signal's good, and the red indicates obviously that the signal's bad.
But there's a problem. Patel's hair is really dark and really thick.
I would check D7 in the back here.
On the screen, there's lots of red and yellow, indicating a poor connection with his scalp.
Obviously, it's not a good detector because there's all this hair in the way. And this is what takes a while.
It takes moving that hair one detector at a time to get a good connection. While these kids are in college, FNIRS is optimized to study brain activity in younger subjects, says neuroscientist Anastasia Kerr-German, who runs the research happening here.
We can't stick a kid in an fMRI scanner in a wakeful state until they're a healthy 6 or 7 years old because they won't sit for it.
But by that time, researchers may have missed a crucial window for understanding how things like ADHD and autism develop. FNIRS has helped reach those younger kids. But, Kerr-German says,
now we've found that you can't use it with any little kid that has any kind of hairstyle outside of flat, straight hair.
The hair most white kids have. This is why this cutting-edge research has so far largely left out black and brown kids. That could reinforce prejudices in children's mental health. For example, white boys are more likely than others to be diagnosed with ADHD. A diagnosis can lead to support. Meanwhile, black boys more often get labeled with behavioral issues for which they may be punished. Kerr-German wants to see these trends change, so she's creating a more inclusive type of FNIRS cap.
The lowest hanging fruit, in our opinion, is to address the disparities based on race in this technology. We're going to actually do this down lower.
For now, the prototype involves flexible plastic used to weave FNIRS detectors onto a participant's head. It's affordable to recreate, and Kerr-German hopes this model gets approved for use across the country.
Let her hair rest on top.
But student Alexandria Shells, also working in the lab, says it will take more than just fixing the tech. Shells is black and recognizes mistrust runs deep.
We're very protective, I think, as we should be. A lot of harm has been done to our community, especially coming from research institutions. And so I think our biggest goal with this project is like helping build trust.
At the Child Development Center at Central Georgia Technical College, Kerr-German has been welcomed to start building that trust. She moves around a classroom of preschoolers.
That's one popsicle and two popsicles.
Playing with them.
And that's right, three popsicles. Good job.
But also watching for any signs that a kid may need extra support. She'll share what she sees with parents in the hopes that information can help a child succeed.
We also hopefully will be building bridges to where these communities want to then come be a part of research.
It's a first step, she says, but a big one. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis in Macon.
The Port of Brunswick handled an all-time high of about 86,000 units of roll-on, roll-off cargo last month. The Georgia Ports Authority said earlier this week it had a 26% increase over May of last year. Much of the increased port traffic was related to the bridge collapse in Baltimore, which shut down that port for 11 weeks, but other factors were involved as well. A nonprofit organization dedicated to land conservation has acquired two parcels of land in Middle Georgia that will support efforts to establish the Ocmulgee Mounds as Georgia's first national park. The Branson Tracks occupy 931 acres in Bibb and Twiggs counties. The Open Space Institute has acquired the properties from conservation-minded landowner Martha Bond Branson with plans to transfer them to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as additions to the 8,600-acre Bond Swamp National Wildlife Refuge. The Branson properties were saved with help from the Knobloch Family Foundation, the Green South Foundation, and the Peyton Anderson Foundation. Elton John is auctioning off more of his personal items that once filled his previous home on Peachtree Road in Atlanta. Online seller eBay said today that hundreds of items from the singer's legendary wardrobe will be sold on the platform for 10 days, with all proceeds supporting the Elton John AIDS Foundation. An eclectic mix of items from a series of similar sales at Christie's auction house in February fetched $20 million. In sports, the Atlanta Hawks had the number one overall pick in the NBA draft last night. 19-year-old Zachary Rezaché from France is expected to be a foundational player for the Hawks, and it was a good night for basketball fans from France. France and the U.S. are the only countries with three players selected within the top 10 picks of an NBA draft. In baseball, the Braves split a doubleheader against the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday, winning the first but losing the second. Ronaldo Lopez presided over the win, allowing two runs and four hits in five innings, and Bryce Elder was the losing pitcher in the second game, allowing two runs and five hits in six innings. The Braves play the White Sox today in a makeup game of a weather cancellation back in April. Chris Sale is expected to get the start. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, do it now. It'll keep us current in your podcast feed. And if you've got feedback, we would love to hear from you by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.